worth the calories I'm taking in. I'm like, I'm wasting my space in my stomach.
What are the calories of a bowl of cereal?
Plus the milk.
You know what?
Depending on what kind of milk you have.
With that sugar, you know, it's like diabetes in a bowl. But you get it, and it's really bad. Then you can go and get the good stuff, and you're like, oh my gosh, I could eat this all day. If the Jets get Deshaun Watson, we would go from the off-brand to the real deal overnight.
So it's like generic cereal
to the real
stuff. To the real deal?
To the real stuff.
Okay.
Well, we'll see about that.
I'll be tuned into that.
Oh, you'll be all over New York Jets news.
Yes.
This might turn into a sports podcast.
This probably will, honestly.
Knowing your passion for it.
Yeah. So, hey, what's up, everybody? This is, welcome back to the Spirit Taught podcast. This is part two, with Andy Romano and me, Daniel Brinkman. And, what we were just talking about in part one is, what were we just talking about?
talking about the judgment seat of Christ and how it's actually good news that Jesus wants to reward us for the ways we were faithful to him. And then mainly we spent like the entire time talking about how we will not be compared to other people's gifts and other people's opportunities.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're just talking about like, comparison with other people.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's get back to, you said you have another verse.
Yeah. Just to give a little background on the judgment seat of Christ, because again, that's a term that even probably most believers aren't super familiar with. Mm-hmm. A lot have probably heard, but they don't really know in depth, and they don't know the scripture behind it.
Yeah.
So, okay, I am no scholar, but I'm familiar with the Greek word for the judgment seat is called the bema, because that existed in just contemporary Greek outside of the scriptures. It was the place of reward. Picture like their version of the Olympics, the Grecian Games, where you go to get awarded either the bronze, the silver, or the gold. So the winner goes to the bema to get rewarded. No one has ever finished an Olympic event and then went up to the podium and got punished and like, hey, you know what? You made it. Yeah, you won, but your form was a little off. You know, this wasn't quite... No one does that. You know, your hair got kind of messed up in the wind. No, you're there for reward and celebration. And so it's amazing that Jesus used that term to get that mental image in the mind of the readers of that day and say, when you stand before Jesus, what is Paul who used that term, this is what it's going to be like. He's going to be celebrating the choices you made to be faithful, the choices you made to invest in his kingdom, the choices you made to deny the flesh and to put others first. And you know, it really stretches your imagination of how gracious and kind Jesus is. Because I look at my life, and you know, we're our own worst critic, and I don't see much that's notable. I don't see much to celebrate. And yet Jesus says that he will reward even a cup of cold water given in his name.
Mm-hmm.
And so here, I'll just share this. Honestly, this verse, I lose my mind over because it's funny in the sense that it's not what I would have expected. But it says, this is Paul, 1 Corinthians 4, following up that passage on 1 Corinthians 3 we talked about in part 1.
Mm-hmm.
He says, Jesus will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. That's verse 5. And you're like, uh-oh,
mm-hmm.
Bring to light what's hidden in darkness, expose the motives of the heart? Like, mm-hmm. This doesn't sound good. Yet this is his follow-up. At that time, each will receive their praise from God. It's like, whoa. So you're saying Jesus is searching the things that no one else sees. My battle against the flesh, my motives, the things I do in secret that no one else knows. And then on the day I stand before him, those things will come to light. And the word praise means to like affirm, to celebrate. It's not worship. Different, mm-hmm. different concept being presented altogether. He's going to celebrate and affirm those choices. You know, mm-hmm. and again, it's mostly small things that no one else sees or that no one celebrates. Yet Jesus, he sees it. And at the end of the Old Testament, the book of Malachi, there's this reference to God recording in a book of remembrance the deeds of the righteous. Mm-hmm. And so God is pictured as this, almost like this scribe, watching the lives of his people, recording the things that moved his heart, the things that he was proud of, the things that they were doing in on self-sacrificing according to his will. And in that, he made a book of remembrance, so on the day that we stood before him, it could be brought to light. And like Jesus could finally tell you, Daniel, how he felt about all those choices you made. When, you know, here on earth, you know, sometimes we struggle to feel God, to hear God, and we're like, am I doing the right thing? Is this even that important? You compare yourself to other people. But all the while, Jesus is like, I cannot wait to tell you how I felt about those choices you made for me.
What verse is it where he talks about, I think it's Paul that talks about, right now we see through a glass darkly,
yeah,
or dimly, and then we shall, or now we know in part, but then we shall know fully, as even as we are fully known. I think of that verse.
Yeah, no, that's good. Because we don't see everything clearly. We don't see everything the way he does right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of it is by faith. You know, I heard someone say on this subject that, kind of going off that idea, it's all by faith. We're being obedient to the leading of the Spirit, to the Word. We're, you know, loving people, sharing the gospel. And it's by faith, you know. But we'll stand before him, and when we see the look on his face that Jesus is smiling as he remembers the life you lived for him, you're going to be like, oh man, I am so glad I made those decisions where I was struggling in the moment or felt like it wasn't worth much. I'm so glad I just chose to love and obey Jesus.
Yeah, wow. What about, I think we could have, well, let's just go to some verses and scriptures that you may have that really talk more about, like, the judgment seat of Christ, like, maybe as clearly as we can get.
Okay, yeah. There's a couple. There's one in 1 Corinthians 9 where Paul is talking about comparing when we stand before Jesus, again, to an athlete finishing the race, where they go to the athlete goes to receive their crown, which was like that wreath, you know, you could see in like ancient Greek art and stuff like that. So Paul,
something they wore on their head.
Yes, it's a thing they wore on their head. Yeah, and it's a reward to celebrate an achievement, you know, that someone earned. And so Paul is saying we're running this race, we're disciplining our bodies, we're seeking Jesus and his will, so that when we stand before him, we'll get that crown. And the crown isn't something that we parade in front of other people. The crown isn't something that we compare to other people. It's something intimately personal between us and Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Where that day we stand before Jesus face to face. You know, face to face, we hear his voice, we look into his eyes, you can like reach out and touch him, like he's as real and tangible as you and I, and we're going to have that face to face conversation, and he will tell you how he feels about all those choices you made for him. And so the idea of rewards is a little vague to me personally. I still, all I picture is the look on his face.
Man, yeah, I think about the awards, and I'm like, man, I think seeing God face to face is the best reward, the best award you can ever have. Why would I care about some other thing? But I think that, I mean, I don't know for sure this, what I'm saying, but like, I feel like the awards are just like an addition, they're an addition to what we are experiencing with Jesus himself on that day, but I feel like they're maybe just a part of that. They're just like, it's not like, it's, I guess what I'm trying to say is maybe we think of awards maybe in an earthly sense, a really earthly sense. In an earthly way. And it's, I don't think it's really like that at all. Like you said, I think it's going to be really, really specific to your own relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be like, here's this award, this thing that you can now have.
Like a tangible, like a medal.
Yeah,
like a
trophy. Like, and I think that when we grow up, when we're growing up as kids and we think about like in heaven there's going to be treasures, that we always had this mindset, I think, for people who grew up as in the church or something, we always had this mindset of like, there's going to be these tangible, like this gold or something, or these these awesome like toys or just like things that we can have when we get to heaven. But mm-hmm. I mean, from just reading scripture as a whole, like I really don't get that sense at all.
Sure, sure.
And I think that it's really going to speak to, it's really about the heart of things, and that is our own relationship with Jesus, and like you said, how he views us and how he views the things that we did and what we did for him, and man, just getting like words of affirmation from him, as like praise from him, like you said, that scripture said, it's just awesome.
Yeah, and I think, if I'm honest, the idea of a reward is a little, I would almost say, makes me feel a little uncomfortable, and that's just because I don't understand it. Jesus talked, honestly, quite a bit about reward, so like I'm going to go with him and say it's a good thing, but for me, I don't understand it. I'm like, Jesus, like, I don't want you to like reward me. Like, you did so much. You became a man, and you experienced pain and betrayal and all this stuff, and you've stuck with me through everything that I've put you through in. And then you want to reward me for something small I did for you? I'm like, no way, that's not a good deal. But in his mind, it's he's expressing his enjoyment. He's expressing his emotion of how he feels about your choices, your struggle. Man, I think about the people who may have like some sort of, you know, everyone has a specific walk with God, right? Everyone has different temptations and struggles. And I think the person with issues with mental health, right? And that's something that's going on in their own mind between them and God. And when they stand before Jesus, he understood that. And that's factored in. Like, here on earth, we don't always understand it. We can't understand the battles in someone's mind, but Jesus does. And their struggle was just to keep their eyes on him. And other people are like, hey, what's taking you so long to grow? And they're doing the best they can. Jesus understands that. Jesus, that's the verse we talked about at the beginning here, where the things hidden in darkness, no one else understands, no one else sees, the way, you know, trauma in your childhood or pain in making certain decisions that no one else really gets, but Jesus gets. But Jesus, and on that day, he's going to show you how much he understood. And I just think of the personal face-to-face that conversation is going to be. Going to be pretty awesome. And it makes me think of this. There's this phrase that Jesus says a few times. I've counted like 5 or 6 times that he's brought this up, where he says, I will confess your name to the Father. And I've put a lot of study into like, what does that mean? And what I've come to understand is the word confess was like like the telling of a story, right? If I were to confess, okay, an example of this actually is in Exodus, where Moses said to God, show me your glory. And God said, okay, I will bring you up on the mountain. I will pass by you and I will proclaim my name to you. And when he got up there, God said, Yahweh is merciful, compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love, all that stuff. So it wasn't just he said, hi, I'm Yahweh, proclaiming my name. That's my name. This is how you spell it. But it was the telling of who he was. And so when we stand before Jesus, he's saying that I will tell your story to the Father. It's something that it's a story that I will celebrate. And again, with all the intricacies that he understands about Daniel's walk, that he will profess and proclaim your name. Like, I just have a couple references. One, in Revelation chapter 3, he says, the one who is victorious, I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before the Father and the angels. And it's not just like, you know, Jesus introduces you to the Father, however this is going to work. And he's like, Father, this is Daniel. It's not just like, say your name. It's like, this is Daniel. This is what he did for me. This is, in the mystery of how heaven is going to work, proclaiming before the angels, I don't know how that is, but when he tells your story, he's like, this is Daniel. He's my friend. He chose me in this situation, and he battled through this, and he loved people like this, and he was faithful like this. And it's like these stories that Jesus treasures from our, what we would call small and little lives, but they're all stories that Jesus treasures. And again, it's just all these insights into how Jesus is seeing our life. You know, we criticize ourselves, we look down on ourselves, we compare ourselves, but Jesus sees it very different to the one who's faithful and the one who loves well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something about... yeah, the thing you said about him confessing our name to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Like, every time I hear Scripture talk about his name, when it says his name, or... It's talking about, I think, his character and his heart, rather than just... I think even in that time and that culture, in the world, I think maybe names were more, even more significant, and like they meant more, they held more weight, I think.
Sure, sure.
Maybe than they do, I guess, in America, because even like Jesus changed, you know, Peter's name. It was Cephas, right, or whatever, and he called him the Rock, and
Saul Paul, that kind
Saul
of
Paul, yeah, and so, so it carries more weight, and he's talking about like our character and our heart, and like the deepest parts of actually who we are, rather than just so surface level.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and then. And again, that he has enthusiasm about mm-hmm. our little lives. I mean, honestly, man, like, that's the... If I were to describe how my study, becoming a student of this subject, how has it affected me, I would say that it has encouraged me to know that my life decisions matter to Jesus. The small ones, the big ones, I don't need to compare to anyone else. I can just focus on being faithful with what he's given me, love the people he's put in my life, and know that my decisions are actually meaningful to Jesus.
Wow, man. That is such a solid, like foundation of, just a solid foundation to stand on,
mm-hmm.
to always remember, and like, I don't have to compare myself with anybody.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's it. It's like, that's the answer of what we need to be standing on. That's crazy.
Yeah, and to think that there isn't like the certain standard of you have to reach this many people, you have to preach this many times, and then mm-hmm. God will be happy with you. Again, you just throw all that out the window. What is he entrusted to you? In the circumstance of your own struggles, of your own abilities, your own opportunities, being faithful with what he's given you is all he's asking.
Mm-hmm.
And that frees everyone to be perfectly confident before Jesus, not worried, not comparing, just knowing they're loved and knowing that they have the ability to move the kingdom forward, and Jesus appreciates it.
What does Hebrews say about that we now have confidence to approach the throne of grace?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all grace. Like, we have confidence to approach the throne of God because it's a throne of grace. It's awesome.
That's beautiful.
And I forgot what I was going to say. There's something else I was going to say. Completely forgot. But we can go on. Any other thoughts about that?
Millions.
Yeah.
How many parts can we do of this?
Oh, man.
No, man. I mean, I think that pretty well sums up the general introduction to the subject and just the way it's affected me and how I kind of got on this track. And if anything, it's emphasized more his kindness, his graciousness, and it alleviated a lot of comparison stress I was putting on myself, like must-do good things. And like, that's totally not. I mean, you can read the Gospels, or especially the Epistles, and you see Paul is getting people away from this law sort of mindset, the mentality that the law brought, into loving out of like your love for Jesus and the overflow of how you love others being something genuine, being something that's truly inspired by the Spirit, not by this compulsion or this fear. And honestly, learning about Jesus's judgments alleviated my fear and anxiety. So that's kind of his roundabout, backward sort of way, but that's typically how he does things. Flips my perspective upside down.
Hmm. I don't know if it's relevant anymore, but you just reminded me of what I was going to say. And it's about, like, we think, okay, so, yeah, God has shared with me what I need to be faithful in.
Yeah.
And when he says, those who are faithful With little, we'll be faithful with much. And I'm thinking, oh man, so God's going to give me more to be faithful with if I'm faithful with little. And so I can fall into this pattern of thought of like, am I faithful with the little that I have? Because I don't see more coming in. I don't see God giving me more. Yeah, so what are we?
So what am I doing wrong that my
that kind of
influence isn't expanding?
Yeah, that's yeah.
Wow, that's a really good thought. I guess my just initial thought would be the way we evaluate more mm-hmm. is probably different than he does. Mm-hmm. So we think more, and we think bigger platform, more people are going to listen to me. I'm going to write books that millions of people read. Again, it's mm-hmm. the way we see it. Whereas more, in his eyes, could be one person, or it could be he's giving you a deeper sense to empathize, a deeper way of having compassion towards someone.
So it could look like the same situation. Like there's not going to be necessarily a difference
sure.
in what comes in your life, but that God is like trusting us with more, and it may look like just a deeper like involvement with people that you have in your life.
A deeper ability to love, and quantitatively it may not be more, so there may not be like 15 more people who whatever, but he's expanding your heart, and he's trusting you with this precious gift of love that the Spirit has tenderized your heart, and to go and love the people that are already in your life. Throws, again, our perspective totally upside down, because we think bigger equals better. Mm-hmm. Jesus will be more happy if I do more, reach more, bigger, you know, faster, stronger, whatever. But again, Jesus is looking
like
at it differently.
Like that song? Like that one song?
Like that one song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that techno song?
Oh, yeah, techno, man.
I'm stronger, just,
yeah,
faster,
all
better.
All about that. Bebop, bop.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so that's part two. Thanks, man. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure.
Thanks for coming today. This
is really
awesome.
Happy to have this conversation.
This could definitely go on, though. Like, we could definitely do this again and have like another 2-part, 4-part, whatever, man. Like, I would definitely want to do that.
Well, cool, man. Humbled that you had me, man. This was fun.
Yeah. Sweet. All right.